All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight for the awesome opportunity we have to be here in this body of believers. Lord, I'm just privileged to be the pastor of this church. I thank you, Lord, for every member and every guest and everyone that's had a part from the foundation of the church all the way to the present time, and look forward to the things that you're going to do in the days and years to come if you tarry. But Lord, tonight we're here, and Lord, our desire is to focus on the lesson of prayer. Lord, so many people struggle with prayer. And yet, Lord, it should be the easiest thing because, Lord, it's talking to you and it's fellowshipping with you and getting to know you. And yet the devil has done everything he can to try to stop prayer. And so, Lord, I pray that tonight you will just open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, heart to understand the things that you have for us. Also be with the other meetings as they meet together tonight in other parts of the building. We pray, Lord, that your blessing and your spirit, Father, would be upon them as well. Lord, I pray that you would give me the ability to teach tonight in a way that would be understandable and helpful to those who are here. We pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. So lesson number 11, Christian Foundations, lesson number 11, prayer. Now, before I get into the lesson, I want to make a little statement that there are so many different aspects of prayer. There's no way all of those different aspects can be covered in one lesson. So I'm not even trying. There are other lessons of prayer that may be taught in the future. Things that, for instance, praying in the Spirit. I'm not necessarily focusing on that kind of prayer tonight. But I am focusing on the prayer from the standpoint of what Jesus taught. All right, so that's kind of the direction that it's going to be focusing on. All right, our key verse tonight is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. And this is Jesus saying, "In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The purpose of our lesson tonight is to help the disciple, that's you, that is me, to develop a consistent, disciplined, and biblical prayer life. I want to ask you tonight, where do you stand in your prayer life? You don't have to answer that out loud. Don't, please don't. But the question is, do we have a consistent, disciplined, and biblical prayer life? Now, we hope that tonight, if you do, this will be an encouragement to continue. If you don't, that this will be somehow motivation to get started. And so, if there was anything I could say that would strengthen your life and strengthen the foundation of this church, it's this lesson right here, the lesson on prayer. All right, so we want to start off by looking at Jesus, our example. Jesus, our example in prayer. And truly, Jesus is our example. First of all, Jesus prayed in the morning. Now, morning is hard for a lot of people. I realize that. Some people say, well, I'm a night person. Well, Jesus was a night person, a morning person, a throughout the day person. He prayed all the time. And I want to ask you, if Jesus prayed that much, and he is the Son of God, what does that tell us about our need to pray? Man. So Mark 1:35 says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Now why did he do that? Because once the sun came up, the people were gathering, and he wasn't going to have time to pray. And you know, you got to fight for the time to pray. And you got to sometimes get up ahead of time before everybody else. And of course, to do that, you got to go to bed early, if you can't. All right? That's not always possible. Maybe your schedule doesn't allow for it. But if you're going to get up, if you're going to have those times in the morning, you're going to have to get up before everybody else and make it your priority. So Jesus prayed in the morning. Secondly, Jesus prayed in the evening, Matthew 14:23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when the evening came, he was alone there. So here is Jesus. He went not only in the morning to pray, but he also at night, when he sent everybody else away, he went up into the mountain to get alone by himself. Do you ever have a place? You have a place that you can kind of get alone with God? I hope that you do. If you don't, find that place, because you need an undistracted place if possible. Mark 6, 45 and 47. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. And when evening had come, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. So Jesus made those times where he could be alone with God. Number three, Jesus prayed often. So not only in the morning, not only in the evening, but often. Luke 5:16. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. That means that Jesus was always looking for a way of escape, just to get away from the crowd, get away from the disciples, and spend time with his heavenly Father. Number four, at times Jesus prayed all night. There's been some times in my life where I prayed all night. And those are very special times, because there's usually no one else awake. And it's just a very intimate time with the Lord. And so Jesus prayed all night at times. Luke 6:12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. All right, now I imagine he didn't get a break to sleep during the day either. He knew where his strength came from. Number five, according to the previous of passages, Jesus withdrew himself from others or sent others away in order to be alone in prayer. Now there's a time for corporate prayer. We'll have one tomorrow night. But you need time alone with God in prayer. You need that time alone with God. You say, well, I've got kids. How can I do that? Well, you're going to have to find those times. Sometimes it's one parent trading off while the other one goes to pray, and then trade back off and let the other one pray, or whatever it is. But find that time you can be alone in prayer. Number six, Jesus was passionate in prayer. He didn't just pray little, rhyme kind of prayers. He was passionate in his prayers. And you can see this over in Hebrews 5:7. It says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. So here is Jesus crying out to God. Now, God was his Father, but Jesus was in a human body which he had never existed in before. He came and he subjected himself to being a human being, just like us. And so in that place, he had to depend on God in a way, his Father, in a way he had never had to before. Number seven, even now, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. So what is Jesus doing now in heaven? He's praying. Jesus was our intercessor on earth, and Jesus is also our intercessor in heaven. He is always praying for us. That's why we don't fall away. I know one time I kind of got feeling sorry for myself. Anybody ever done that? Feel sorry for yourself, and you think, God, and this basically my prayer went something like this: God, I'm as faithful as I can be to you. I've done everything you've told me to do, and just listed off all this, and I just don't understand why you haven't. And at that time, I tell you what the prayer was, is, where is my wife? You know, God already had that covered. Amen. But anyway, and it's like the Lord just stopped me and said, whoa, you have not been faithful to me, but I have been faithful to you. If I had not been faithful to you, you would never have been able to be faithful to me. And so that's the way it is. Jesus is praying for us. And just like he said to Peter, he said, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Well, the reason you keep getting up and going back to God and living, because Jesus is praying you through. And hallelujah for that. Amen. All right. Now, we want to look at Jesus, our teacher in prayer. The disciples of Jesus desired to learn how to pray. Now, some people just think, well, they can pray so well, they were just born with the gift of prayer. There is no gift of prayer. All right, you learn to pray. Just like you learn to talk, you have to learn to pray. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, now it came to pass when he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And so here they were seeing Jesus pray in the morning, pray in the evening, praying often, pulling away to get alone with God in prayer, praying these passionate prayers, and then seeing the results of his life and ministry. And I mean, and it was like, we may be saying prayers, but we're not praying like this man is praying. Lord, teach us how to pray. So the disciples' request of Jesus was, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. I want to look at that request there. Lord, teach us to pray. And I want us to dissect that. First of all, Lord, we must look to Jesus as our teacher in prayer. They went to the right source. I mean, there's all kinds of prayer seminars you can go to, and you can read all kinds of prayer books, and you can be around people who have a good prayer life. But these disciples knew who the master of prayer was. And they went to the master. They went to him. Lord, so we must look to Jesus. Jesus, above all others, knows how to pray. Do you think anybody else might know how to pray better than Jesus? No. No. All right, so Jesus is even now interceding for us and in that effective kind of prayer. And then they said, teach. Lord, teach. So prayer can be taught and therefore learned by anyone willing to ask and learn. Have you asked the Lord to teach you how to pray? Ask the Lord to teach you how to pray. And then get in His school of prayer. Sign up and then show up. Amen. He will teach you how to pray. And then teach us. We must acknowledge our own need to pray. We need to say, God, I need help in prayer. And as long as I've been praying, I'm still asking God to show me how to pray more effectively. All right? I wish I knew years ago some principles of prayer that I know now. I could have maybe been a little more effective back then, but I was learning. I was learning, and so are you. So don't get frustrated at where you are right now in your prayer life. Just keep learning. So that's the thing, is we must be willing to sign up in the Lord's school of prayer and then show up for class. All who are faithful to attend will learn. You will learn if you will show up for class. And then it says, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, there is a difference between praying and saying prayers. A lot of people have this learned kind of prayer, and they just say that prayer. It's a repetitious kind of prayer life. But God wants us to know how to pray, not just to say prayers. The disciples knew the ritual of prayer, but they wanted to learn the art of effective prayer. So if you've been going through a ritual of prayer, trade it in for a lifestyle learning the art of prayer. And I tell you what, there are some books out there of people who have been mighty prayer warriors that you can learn from some of the journeys they've been on in their prayer life. But again, Jesus is the master teacher. Now, let's look at the model prayer. In Matthew 6, verse 9 through 13, and Luke chapter 11, verse 2 and 4, and these are the two passages where the model prayer is brought up. Some people call it the Lord's Prayer, and there's nothing wrong with calling it the Lord's Prayer. To be honest, I think the Lord's Prayer really describes Jesus' prayer in John 17. The model prayer, the reason I call it the model prayer, is because it is a model for us to follow. And it's recorded here for his disciples. Since Jesus taught against vain repetition, remember that when Jesus said, do not just be like the others who use vain repetition. They think they'll be heard because of all of their speaking. No. He did not intend that the model prayer be a verbatim prayer. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying it verbatim. I do that from time to time, especially if I don't have time to pray a whole lot. Sometimes I will pray through verbatim, but focus in my heart on that prayer as I'm doing it. All right? But instead, according to Burgess and Proudlove in their book, Watching Unto Prayer, the Jewish rabbis were in the habit of teaching the people outline prayers, which were known as index prayers. These index prayers contained a number of short sentences which suggested an item to remember in prayer. The people would recite a sentence and then enlarge upon it in their own prayer, drawing out some of its implications, conclusions, and applications. No doubt the disciples were familiar with this type of prayer teaching. So when Jesus gave them instruction on how to pray, he simply gave them an index or model prayer. Since Jesus is the supreme authority on prayer, it would seem that special attention should be given to his model for prayer. Therefore, let's examine the model prayer as an index prayer. So you can see the comparison here between the two prayer versions in Matthew 6 and also Luke chapter 11. And you can see they're all basically exactly the same, except for that last part, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Now, I want to read it from the Matthew 6 version. Our Father, let's all read it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to challenge you to memorize that prayer. Memorize it because you will need it as you pray to remember all of the different aspects of the Lord's Prayer as you pray in your private life. In fact, as you pray through the Lord's Prayer, you will automatically begin to memorize it. So let's look at this index prayer. There's 10 different breakdowns within this prayer, 10 different areas that the Lord focuses us on in this model prayer. First of all is the prayer of communion. The prayer of communion. Prayer always begins out of a relationship with God. Did you know God isn't interested in just you coming and making your request? He wants fellowship. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, in other words, it shows his origin. He's from heaven. He's not like our earthly father. He's not like a human being. He is our Father from heaven. And not only is he, my Father, but it's also our Father. It also recognizes the fact that we're part of a family. We belong to a family that's bigger than just us. And it's very important to realize this, that when we call upon God as Father, corporately or individually, we are still remembering we're part of a family, because God has a family. Amen? All right. Secondly is the prayer of worship. The prayer of worship. Hallowed be thy name. Well, worship is around the throne. And you know, around the throne, what are they saying 24/7? Holy, 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 right? I mean, they are focused on the reality that God is holy. There is no one like him. And, you know, praise, you can talk about all the great things God has done. But worship focuses on who God is and his attributes. He's holy, he's righteous, he's just, he's love, he's all of those attributes. And so worship him. Take time to worship him in prayer. Some people think prayer is just asking. No, prayer is also worship. Amen? Prayer is also worship. Next is the prayer of dominion. The prayer of dominion. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. God has a kingdom. And Jesus is the king in that kingdom. And he told us to pray, thy kingdom come. That means he wants his kingdom to come. He wants his kingdom to come in our life, in our nation, in our church, wherever it is, he wants his kingdom to come. So you think, well, can't God just do whatever he wants to do? He said, pray, thy kingdom come. In other words, God's working in cooperation with us. Revelation chapter 11, there that when the seventh seal is broken, we see that they declare that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. Well, that day's coming, but right now we're praying for it. Amen. Next, number four, is the prayer of consecration. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, when our will and God's will intersect, there's got to be a death to our will. In other words, here is the will of God, and here is our will. And Jesus prayed in the garden, Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. That's that natural human part of Him. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And at that point, the cross, He encountered the cross in His own life, and His will gave way to the will of the Father. And that is consecration. That means, God, I am consecrating, setting myself apart for Your will to be done in my life. And we'll see later, it's to be applied in many areas, but let's suffice it for that for now. Next is the prayer of petition. The prayer of petition. Now, this is what a lot of people think of as prayer. Lord, I need my bills paid. Lord, I need this. And Lord, I need that. And so many people just go to God on the basis of that. Now, there's a prayer of petition, and we need to pray. It's okay to pray for things. It's all right to ask. You have not because you ask not. So this is one of the prayers in the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. Number six is the prayer of repentance. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts. This is where we come to terms with our shortcomings and where we fall short. We come to God and say, God, I said things I shouldn't have said. I did things I shouldn't have done. I had a bad attitude. Maybe I did the right thing, but it was with the wrong heart attitude and all these things. And God will shine the light on those things. Amen. God will sit down and talk to you about all those things. And that's where the best response is repent. All right? And so we need to repent. Next is release. Now, this is a little harder because this has to do with as we forgive our debtors. The people who have hurt us, the things that said against us, the people who have taken from us, all the hurts that people do, we have to forgive them. And in forgiving, you have to release them. Forgiveness is more than just saying, I forgive, but I will never, never forget. You see, that's almost like a vengeful, I'll get you, you know, type of thing. No, but, you know, when God forgave you the debt, He released you from the debt. Amen? Amen. And so that's what we're talking about. Forgiveness is not condoning what people do as if it's okay. No, just like God forgives you does not mean that He condones what you did is okay. But He forgave you because of His grace and mercy and because of the cross of Christ. And on that basis, we also forgive others. And by the way, forgiveness is not as much about them being forgiven as much as it is your heart being free. Amen? All right. So, the prayer of release. Next is the prayer of preservation. Because we have an enemy out there, right? And we have and our flesh is tempted. And so we could very easily fall into temptations of all various ways. So the prayer of preservation, and lead us not into temptation. Now, we know that God does not tempt anyone. But the devil is out there tempting. And tests are often in the form of temptations. And so lead us not into temptation has to do with, Lord, protect me and lead me not into those paths of overwhelming temptation. You can't escape temptation without leaving this world. I mean, it's going to be around you forever. But when you say, don't lead me there, is, Lord, you know my weaknesses and you know where I'm very vulnerable. And so, Lord, lead me away from those paths. Guide me, correct me, whatever it is, you know, with your rod and your staff. All right. And then number nine, the prayer of deliverance. The prayer of deliverance. Deliver us from evil. And one version says, and the evil one. So this is where we're saying, God, the enemy has attacked. The enemy has come in. The enemy has a strategy against me, and I feel the heat of his attack on my life. And this is deliver us from evil. And then number 10, the prayer of praise. And this is where at the end you begin to praise him for all that he has done and the fact that he is in control. Thine is the kingdom and thine is the power and thine is the glory forever. Amen. And so we see here in this index prayer 10 different areas that we need to focus on in prayer. And just about everything I can think of fits within one of those categories. All right? All right, now we want to look at the 10 voices in the model prayer. The 10 voices, because you're praying this prayer, but you're coming at it in a little bit different angle, all right, in terms of how you're approaching. Number one, or in the voices, is the voice of the Son. All right, the voice of the Son, our Father. And of course, daughter, if you're a female. In other words, this part focuses on the fact that you're his son or you're his daughter, our Father. So this is the voice of his child calling out to him. All right. Second is the voice of the saint. Now, saint means holy one, or one who is set aside as holy. So when we say, hallowed be thy name, we're coming to him as his saints. And we're saying, Lord, we are holy and seek to be holy as you are holy. The third voice is the voice of the subject. A subject in a kingdom is the one who is under the king's rule or reign. So we say, thy kingdom come. We're saying, Lord, as subjects in your kingdom, we're saying, let your kingdom come. Number four is the voice of the servant. Because we are not only sons, but we're also servants. And so we say, thy will be done. Whatever it is, your will, Lord, I am your servant. I stand attention to do your will. So the voice of the servant. The next, the fifth, is the voice of the supplicant. That's kind of a big word, but basically it means the voice of the one that's being supplied. The one who is being supplied with their need. Give us this day our daily bread. They're all starting with S's, by the way. All right, if y'all haven't figured that out by now. All right, so the voice of the supplicant. Give us this day our daily bread. I have a need. Number six is the voice of the sinner. I've sinned. I've fallen short. Lord, forgive me of my debts. Forgive me. So I'm coming as the sinner in need of forgiveness. And then the next one, the seventh voice, is the voice of the sympathizer. You know that you have needed forgiveness, and so therefore you forgive as you have been forgiven. Now, Jesus never had sinned. He never had to sympathize as a sinner, but he did sympathize with our weaknesses because he experienced the temptations that we faced. He experienced the things that the devil does to try to bring us down. The next is the voice of the sojourner. The voice of the sojourner. Now, a sojourner is like a pilgrim. Lead us. We need direction. We need guidance in life. And so this is the voice of the sojourner, the one who is traveling the path of life and is asking for God's leadership in their life. The next is the voice of the struggler. The voice of the struggler. Because as much as we have it together, we are still struggling. Amen? We're still struggling. And the struggle doesn't end till you die. All right? So you're going to be struggling till you get... And that's where we say, deliver us. Deliver us. Lord, I'm struggling. I need help. I need your strength. I need deliverance. And then, tenth, is the voice of the soldier. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Pledging allegiance to the king. And I'm out to work and to war for the sake of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? All right. Now, let's look at number 10, and that is Jesus taught the importance of private prayer. Now, we touched on that a little bit earlier, but Matthew chapter 6, we'll read verse 5 and 6. And when you pray, and this is Jesus' instructions, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, Pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who is in the secret place will reward you openly. So here is what Jesus is saying. You know, Jesus could have prayed out publicly with his disciples, but he didn't do that. He may have done it some. I don't know. I don't know of a recorded time, other than there were times he prayed privately that his disciples heard him. And they recorded his prayer, for instance, in the garden of Gethsemane. But at the same time, Jesus prayed privately. And that's the model that Jesus gives for us, is to pray privately, not to be one who prays to be seen by others. Not to be one who prays to be seen by others. And the Pharisees and all, they would go out on the street corners and blow trumpets, or just pray out on the street corners, and they would do all their little prayers, and everybody would get to see how religious they were. If they would start to give an alms, they would blow a little trumpet and give it away. You know, it's all about being seen as being righteous, because that's what they were seeking, was the glory and the honor of men, not the glory and honor of God. All right, number 11 is Jesus taught the importance of personal prayer. Again, we're still looking to Jesus as our teacher. Personal prayer. Matthew 6, 7 and 8, "When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him." In other words, prayer is personal. It's not just some ritual you go through. Don't make it a ritual. If you do, you're going to burn out and dry up and all the rest. It's not going to, because it's legalism. No, it's personal. God wants your prayer. He already knows what you need before you ask him. He wants the relationship. He wants you. He paid for you. He wants your love. He wants your communion. He wants you to take time to love on him and let him love on you. Amen? All right, number 12. Jesus taught the importance of persistent prayer. Oh, this is a big one. Persistent prayer, because a lot of times we pray until our patience runs out and then we give up. Or we get discouraged. Or we just say, "Well, God, I guess you're not going to do it." That's not the kind of prayer that Jesus taught. He taught persistence in prayer. Luke 11, verse 5 through 10 says, "And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give to him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." So here is a man who did not give up asking, seeking, and knocking until the guy opened the door and gave him what he wanted. And by the way, the Greek wording there, it's not just ask, it's ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. In other words, don't give up until the answer comes. How many prayers have you given up on? What if you gave up one day before the answer was going to come? What about Daniel in Daniel chapter 10, who prayed 21 days and then 3 more days, and finally the angel shows up and he says, "From the very first day that you set your heart to pray, I was dispatched to come to you." 24 days later, come on. This is worse than snail mail. Come on. But he said, "I have been battling against the prince of Greece," or the prince of Persia. And so what it was there were some issues going on behind the scenes they could not see. Did you know God has to work? He's answering prayers in the face of demonic powers. He's also answering prayers according to his laws of free will that he has given to us. And so even though we may have asked the prayer right now, God has to start setting it up to answer the prayer with another person's permission. In other words, "Lord, save Johnny." Well, Johnny's got to say yes, amen? And it may be that Johnny's not ready to say yes right now. And so God's got to do some stuff to get Johnny to a point he's ready to say, Uncle, I give. Yes, Lord, come. All right? So, persistence. Luke chapter 18, we see another parable. It said, Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now, this would be almost like a government that was hostile toward Jesus or hostile toward Christianity. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, Get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, and I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with him? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And what he's saying here is, will he find the kind of faith that persists? A lot of people say, well, I have faith, but they don't have faith and patience. And those are the two things that go together to get the results. Be like those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And so when he comes, will he find that kind of persistent faith that doesn't give up? So, well, what if I die and I never get it? Well, you're like the Hebrew in Hebrews 11, where they all died in faith, not having received the promises because there was something even greater laid up ahead. Hey, you died in faith. Praise the Lord. And guess what? You will get the answer, and it will be a whole lot better than what you thought. And by the way, your prayers don't stop being answered just because you die. The prayers you prayed for your kids, grandkids, and all, they're still up before the throne while you're up there worshiping. He said, we got some work to do on earth. Your prayers are still talking to me. Amen. They're stored up in vials of incense up in heaven. Hallelujah. So, hey, you pray for your kids and trust God. You pray for your husband, trust God, wife, or whoever it is. And let's pray for our nation too. Amen. All right, number 13. Jesus also taught the importance of partnership in prayer. There's times to pray privately, but there's also times where you need to, the issue is bigger than something private, and you need to get in agreement with somebody. Amen? Now let's look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 through 20. Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, let me put a parenthesis within his will, you know, always be aware of that because some people get disappointed because I prayed for a Cadillac and I got a Volvo or something else, you know. It will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. In other words, when we gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's there. And when we come to him based on the will of God, his will, and we come in agreement in prayer, then God answers that prayer in a way that's more powerful. One can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. It's not a matter of adding strength, it's multiplying strength. Amen? So that's the way we need to tackle some issues in our life. Number 14, Jesus taught the priority of prayer. The priority of prayer. In Matthew 21:13, he said to them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Now notice the contrast. My house, my Father's house, or my house, shall be called a house of prayer. Now the house was, in that day, was the temple. But we know that we, the church, are the temple of God today. Amen? And we as individuals are also called, our bodies are called the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we as individuals are a temple of the Holy Spirit that God dwells in, His Holy Spirit dwells in. And so prayer should be a priority in His house. His house, people ought to see your life and they ought to say, that person is a person of prayer. Amen. Secondly, the church should be known as a house of prayer. If there's anything that I think that our church or any church should do better on is foster and encourage each other in prayer. Get in little groups to pray together so that you can encourage each other. But develop that personal prayer life, and as a church, what God does here at Grace Fellowship or any church will be primarily based upon the amount of prayer that goes on. All right? All right, that's the end of that part. But I want us to look at the model prayer guide. Now, I gave you in your lesson, it's a larger version, but also gave you one that you can keep in your Bible. Tuck it in your Bible, carry it with you, and use it in your devotional life, whatever. This model prayer is one that I put together. You can take that home. The model prayer, this is kind of how what came out of my own prayer life, my own prayer time. And the first person I ever heard teach on the model prayer years ago was Larry Lee, Church on the Rock. Years ago, I mean, it was like, could you not tarry 1 hour? That was his big push. Could you not tarry 1 hour? But it wasn't set up quite like this, and out of my own prayer life, I saw the 10 different breakdowns within the prayer. And so that's what this prayer guide is based upon. Let's look at it quickly, okay? For instance, let's say you want to start your prayer time in the morning. And don't use this, by the way, as a legalistic thing. I don't use it legalistically, because then you make a ritual out of your time with God. And that's not what God's after. This is a guide. This is a guide. All right. Just like the banks of a river are a guide, but they don't hinder the flow of the river, but they guide the flow of the river. How many of you know that prayer needs some guidance to keep it flowing? All right. And there are times, by the way, in a time of crisis or need or whatever, I may go straight to, Lord, deliver me. Okay? And then maybe come back to one of the other ones later. All right? So it's not a legalistic thing to go through. But let's just say you want to go through it. The first thing is our Father which is in heaven. So this is your prayer of communion. This is your time with the Lord. And so you're just saying, Lord, I just want to thank you today, Lord, that I am your child. Thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ, that you love me so much that you sent Jesus to die for me. I thank you, Lord, that by virtue of faith, that I am your child. And I thank you, Lord, that you've adopted me into the family. I thank you for all my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray for my church family today. I pray, Lord, that what you're doing in my life, you'll do in them also. And God, that you'll strengthen the body of Christ throughout our nation and our world. Lord, I thank you that you're a heavenly Father that loves us so much. You got thousands of kids and millions of kids, billions maybe, but Lord, you make us all feel like an only child. You love us that much and that intimately. And so, Lord, I just want to thank you that I can call upon you, and it's all by virtue of the fact of what Jesus did. I never want to forget that, Lord. I know you made it possible for me to come, and I just thank you for a billion years. I'll still be getting started by thanking you, Lord, that I've even been counted in the family. And then just talk to the Father, however, you know, just commune with him. Each of us has a different personality, just like your kids have a different personality. They talk to you a little bit different. Our kids talk to us differently. I mean, they all have their own personality. And so your expression to God is going to be according to your personality. And God loves that he made you that way. So just come to him as his kid, okay, and just crawl up in his lap and love on him and let him love on you. And then thank God for and identify yourself as a family. All right, and then number two, hallowed be thy name. Because some people get real cozy with God and they forget that he's holy. In other words, some people only address God as Abba or Papa or something like that. And I really sometimes think, I hope there's some respect going in this too. Because some people just have this casual, hey, Papa, how are you doing? And even though he is our Abba, our daddy, Jesus even called him Abba in the garden and others, it has that sense of intimacy, like saying daddy. But I want to tell you, even when I call my daddy daddy, I always also knew he was my father. And he told the line, on what I did and didn't do. And so there has to be that intimacy with respect. And so here you go into realizing he's not just your father, but he is God. He is God. Amen. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about standing before him one day and realizing your daddy is God. That's a pretty awesome thing to think about. It's a privilege, but it's also awesome. So we need to worship him. Not only is he our father, but he's also God. So we hallow the redemptive names of God. Now, there are some other names that are not redemptive. They're more like, you know, Jehovah or Jehovah Gomola, the Lord that smiteth. But I don't know too many people claiming that. But these are the redemptive, meaning these are the names in which he said, I will be these things to you. I will be these things. First of all, Jehovah Tsidkenu, meaning the Lord our righteousness. So Lord, I just want to thank you that you are Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord my righteousness, that I have no righteousness of my own, but you, I wear your righteousness. And it's because you are my propitiation. You'll know there's all these P words there too. I do that quite a bit. And then you are also Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord our sanctifier. In other words, sanctifying means holy. He's the one that's making me holy. Lord, I want to thank you. I hallow you. You are Jehovah. You are Jehovah Makedesh. And Tsidkenu here, and then Makedesh, the Lord our sanctifier, the Lord our purifier. Then the Jehovah Shalom. Anybody ever need peace? Lord, I want to thank you that you're my peace in the midst of the storm. The storm's raging all around me, but I thank you that you're the Lord my peace. You're my peace. And then you are Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there, who is always present. No matter if I feel alone or not, I thank you that I hallow you as Jehovah Shammah. And then Jehovah Rophe, the Lord my healer. He is my physician. And Lord, I want to thank you. You are the God who heals me. And, you know, you can hallow him as your healer. And, you know, doctors, thank God for them. But at the same time, you're recognizing that he is your healer, spiritually, physically, emotionally, whatever you need. And then Jehovah Rophe, I'm sorry, the Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is provider. In other words, Lord, I thank you that you are my provider. You are the one who will take care of my needs. And then Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, which is a banner of victory. Okay, you are my protector, the one who will bring me through. And then Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. And shepherd is another word for pastor. You are my pastor. You are my shepherd. And you can go to Psalm 23 and just remind yourself that you are his sheep. And he is, just like David said, the Lord is my shepherd. David's out there shepherding the sheep. He knew who their shepherd was. He was the shepherd. But who was his shepherd? And he realized it's the Lord. The Lord was his shepherd. And then hallow the name of Jesus in your heart. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one who will, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Then go into thy kingdom come, the prayer of dominion, and then pray for Christ's lordship to be realized in the earth. Father, we just pray that your kingdom come in Iran. We pray your kingdom come in Afghanistan. We pray your kingdom come in Saudi Arabia. We pray your kingdom come in Washington, D.C. Let the kingdom of God come. And then pray that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, Revelation 11:15. Lord, I just pray that the kingdoms of this world, we know it one day will, but I pray it now that they will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, every prince, every king, every president will bow the knee. And then the prayer of consecration, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Where on that day you're saying, Lord, I consecrate myself to your will. Lord, I have my plans for today, but Lord, I submit my plans to you. Lord, I consecrate myself, I consecrate my family, I consecrate our church, and let your will be done in our city, our region, our state, our nation, and our world. And so you could spend time just as the Holy Spirit will direct you and bring thoughts to you that I'm not even mentioning here. And you may find that one day you're focused on thy kingdom come half of the time of your prayer, because that's the one that the Holy Spirit highlights as the need that Jesus is praying. Because, by the way, what we're doing is we're trying to put our ear to the throne room of heaven and hear what the Lord Jesus is praying, because He is praying. Amen. And so we can just pray random prayers, or we can say, Lord, I want to pray in concert and in sync with heaven. So, Lord, as I pray, guide my prayers. Holy Spirit, help me to pray what is on the Father's heart, what is on Jesus' heart. All right? And then give us this day our daily bread. This is the prayer of petition. This is, again, the one most people think most about when they pray. First of all, you have some different aspects of bread mentioned in the Bible. One is the bread of provision, your job, stewardship, meaning not only, God, did you provide me the money, but Lord, you are also providing by the way I distribute that money. Okay, because sometimes God says, I've given you the money to pay that bill, and you end up go buying a new iPad. And then you say, well, God, you didn't pay my bill. No, I did pay your bill. You bought an iPad. I hope you don't have electricity to run it now. Sorry. Or other income. So the bread of provision. Also the bread of healing and deliverance. Matthew 15:26. Jesus said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. He's talking about the bread of healing and deliverance. And so whatever it is that you need, deliverance and healing that day, said, Lord, give me this day my daily bread, my bread of healing, my bread of deliverance, whatever it is that you need in your life. And then it could be spiritual or emotional as well. And then the bread of life. In other words, that daily revelation of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And so, Lord, give me that daily portion of revelation of Jesus in my life today. I want to know Jesus more because I've lived this day. So break the bread of life. Feed me today. I want to see Jesus. And then the next is the prayer of repentance. Now, you probably use this one quite often. I know I do. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then by faith, accept His forgiveness of your sin. Look, you've got to accept it, or this doesn't really help you. Some people ask God to forgive them, but they won't receive their forgiveness. And so they still feel unforgiven. It's not because God hasn't forgiven them, but their own heart condemns them. And thirdly, by faith, accept His cleansing from unrighteousness. Not only does He forgive you, but He will cleanse you. He will take the stain of the sin away. Hallelujah. And then ask God to grant you true repentance, meaning that I'm not just saying, I'm sorry, and keep on doing it, but giving you true repentance so that you understand how grievous it is and you never go back to it again. 7 is the prayer of release. As we forgive our debtors, forgive those who've sinned against you. Take time people will come to your mind. And if you'll ask the Lord, Lord, show me anyone that you see that I have aught against in my heart. And you know, you may have the same person show up every day, but you keep doing it. You keep doing it because God's cleaning you. He's bringing it to the point where you are finally releasing. It's like one finger's off, two fingers off, three fingers off, four, and then, all right, it's yours. And sometimes that release doesn't always come to us the first time. So release them from your heart unto God, thus eliminating any ongoing debt to you. And a lot of times the reason we don't forgive them is because they still owe us something. Maybe an apology that you'll never get. Or maybe they owe you money you'll never get. Or maybe they owe you just honor or respect and they're not going to give it to you. Or maybe they will. But the point is you're not waiting around for it and letting it eat on you. You've let it go. And then as an act of release, choose now to love them, bless them, do good to them, and pray for them. That's when you know you've really started getting over it. And then pray for ultimate reconciliation and restoration. In other words, say, Lord, if possible, restore and heal and bring this restoration in that relationship or whatever it is. It may never happen this side of eternity, but you can still pray for it. Okay? And then lead us not into temptation. This is the prayer of preservation. So acknowledge before God your own natural vulnerability to sin and to the flesh. And if you don't know that, you are a prime meat for the devil. Some people say, oh, I would never do that. And those are the people that usually do it. Some of the preachers that preach the most against sin, the most heavy-hearted, hellfire and brimstone condemning, end up being the ones who fall. Okay? So acknowledge your vulnerability. You need to know every day, God, except for you, there go I also. There go I also. I could have an affair just as easy as any other preacher. I could get caught drinking like any other preacher. Or I could be stealing like any other preacher. And I'm speaking from my standpoint. But what about you? What about at your work or whatever it is? What are those vulnerabilities? Acknowledge, God, I could do it in my flesh. So ask God, who knows your frame, to guide you away from situations that bring overwhelming temptation. All right? In other words, if you have a problem with drinking, then Lord, today I ask you to lead me away from those things that would put that into a temptation where it would be hard to overcome it. Lead me away from those situations. Now, you got to be alert as well, because God may say, when they say, hey, man, come on over to my house tonight. And the Lord says, do not go. Okay? You got to be aware of those things because he's leading you. All right? All right. So lead does not mean drag. Means he's leading and you follow his leading. All right. And then determined to make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Lord, please help me to stop drinking. I'm picking on that one tonight. I'm just using that. But I sure hate to get rid of all this beer and wine I've got up in the cabinet because I spent a lot of money on that. So I'm just going to leave it there. Make no provision for the flesh. Get rid of it. Amen? And then ask God for wisdom in setting godly boundaries for your life. Say, God, show me how to set boundaries so I don't go and I keep a distance. Maybe it's a certain person you don't need to be around. Certain individual. That's how many people get caught in an affair. They don't put a boundary up next to someone who's got the eyes for them. They like the little flattery. See? Instead of thinking, oh, I see the flattery. Danger, danger, danger. I built. My wife will be with me anytime I'm around them. Or husband or whatever. So you build those boundaries. All right. Next, deliver us from the evil one. This is the prayer of deliverance. Ask God to deliver you from current demonic assault. All right. Whatever it is that's coming against you right now, Lord, deliver me. Ask him to deliver you from personal strongholds of sin. Maybe areas that the devil has already got a foothold in your life. And it might be drinking. Or it could be some other area. I'm using drinking tonight. I'm not trying to pick on just one sin. I'm just staying consistent. And then ask God to deliver you from this world system of values, because did you know that the value system of this world sets you up to be trapped by the devil? Because when you think in agreement with the devil, you fall into his traps. So Lord, deliver me from this world system of values. And you need a biblical worldview. And then ask God to deliver you today from the unseen schemes and strategy of the evil one being planned against you. The devil's always looking for traps to set for you. They haven't happened yet. But why not just go ahead and pray ahead of time and get ahead of the curve? All right? And then ask God to place a hedge of protection around you and to cover your life with the blood of Jesus. Did you know that that's already happening? Because the devil would have already got you if Jesus wasn't protecting you. And then put on the full armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And you ought to do this in the morning. It doesn't do a whole lot of good to go through the whole day, get all beat up, and then at night before you go to bed, put on the armor and go to sleep. Amen? And I don't have time to teach all of that. And then G, commit to watch always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and be perseverant in this for all the saints. In other words, be a watchman. Always be watching. Always be alert. Always be on your toes and on the wall and in prayer. Always praying. And then finally, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, the prayer of praise. Thank God for hearing and answering your prayers. Make bold declarations of God's everlasting victorious kingdom, His unmatched power, His worthiness to receive all glory. And then just praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know. And so that concludes our lesson today on prayer. And I hope that it has stirred your heart to pray more. And so I'm going to go ahead and conclude right here with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for the opportunity again to be in this class and to teach this class. And Lord, every time I teach it, I receive an impartation of that teaching myself. It stirs my soul to even go to better and higher levels, Lord. So, Father, I pray that here in this place, you would release a spirit of prayer, Father, a desire for prayer, a persistence in prayer, a persistence that doesn't give up. Lord, I pray that what you do here, you'll do it throughout this congregation. And Lord, pour out a spirit of prayer and supplication upon this nation of Christians. Lord, that this nation will begin, Christians in this nation will begin to go to their prayer closets, and people will begin to pray like they've never prayed before, because there's nothing impossible with you, Lord, if we'll pray. Father, I thank you tonight. Be with us as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name, amen.